भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 39, Akrura's Vision, Text 13 through 18. We'll chant 13 responsibly. Word meanings, Gopyaha, the cowherd girls, Taha, they, Tat, then, Upasrutya, hearing, Babuvu, became, Jyotitaha, distressed, Brisham, extremely. Rama Krishna, Balaram and Krishna. Purim, to the city. Netum, to take. Akruram, Akura. Vrajam, to Vrindavan. Agatam, came, or come. Gopyastas tadupasrutya. Babhur vyatita vrisham Ramakrishna purim netum Akruram rajamagatam Gopyastastarupa upasrutya Abhuvuryatita Vrisham Ramakrishna Purim Netum Akruram Vrajamagatam Gopyastastarupasrutya Abhuvuryatita Vrisham Ramakrishna Purim Netum Akruram Rajamagatam Ladies. Young gopis heard that Akura had come to Braja to take Krishna and Balaram to the city. they became extremely distressed. So we'll chant the other verses. You can chant along with me. Kaschit takrita rita paswasamana mukasya samsadkula valaya kesha grantyasya kashtana. Some gopis felt so pained at heart that their faces turned pale from their heavy breathing. Others were so anguished that their dresses, bracelets, and braids became loose. Anyasya tadanubhyana irvitashita vrittaya nadyajanam imam lokam atma lokam gatayiva. Other gopis entirely stopped their sensory activities and became fixed in meditation on Krishna. They lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. Purport. The gopis were in fact already on the platform of self-realization. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2108, states, Jivara Swarupai Krishna Nityadas. The self or individual soul is an eternal servant of Krishna. Thus, because they were rendering the most intense loving service to the Lord, the gopis were situated at the highest stage of self-realization. Smarantyascha parashore anuragas niterita irishkrishas chitapana yerasamu muhutya. And still other young women fainted simply by remembering the words of Lord Shauri, Krishna. These words, decorated with wonderful phrases and expressed with affectionate smiles, would deeply touch the young girls' hearts. Gatim sulavitam chishtam snigdahasa valokanam shokapahani namani rodama charitani cha chintayanko mukundasya hita virahakata samita sandasya prasur. The gopis were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Lord Mukunda. So now, as they remembered his graceful gait, his pastimes, his affectionate smiling glances, his heroic deeds, and his joking words, which would relieve their distress, they were beside themselves with anxiety at the thought of the great separation about to come. They gathered in groups and spoke to one another, and their faces covered with tears, and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I've always liked this chapter of the Krishna book because it's the one time when I maybe feel a little something in my heart. It's so touching. The gopis' lamentation for Krishna. We see the difference. We've been hearing Akrura, he's coming to see Krishna, so he's in so much ecstasy. And then the gopis, they're on the other side, drowning in sorrow because Akrura is coming to take Krishna away from them. So this is a very deep topic. We have so many stages of sambandha gyan, understanding Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, lays it out step by step. And here we're hearing about the highest thing imaginable. It's like in Lord Chaitanya's talks with Ramananda Rai, same kind of thing, progressively more and more. Brihad Bhagavatamrita also, hear about different devotees. Finally, at the very top, get to the gopis. As you read the Bhagavatam in the earlier cantos, so many places you see devotees are glorified with terms like the greatest devotee of the Lord, or the greatest, or the most exalted devotee, or the topmost devotee. So you hear phrases attached to Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And these people are, of course, people, devotees. They are so exalted. Sometimes Prabhupada would translate topmost devotee as Uttama Adhikari. So from our perspective, at least from my perspective, I look at Uttama Adhikari. Whoa, it's way, way beyond. I think Prabhupada said in his Vyas Puja offering to Bhaktisiddhanta, he was talking about how many crores of lifetimes he would have to, he would still be in this material world. So that certainly applies to me. How many crores of lifetimes it may take to get to that level of topmost devotee, most exalted devotee. So what is one of the characteristics of these devotees, or many of them, if they know about the gopis? They take the dust of the gopis on their heads. These topmost, most exalted devotees, who are they looking to as the example of the highest of the highest, the gopis of Vrindavan? So they're so exalted, and we're so fortunate, actually, to be able to see. The Bhagavatam is so intimate. Of course, they're even more intimate. The Bhagavatam gives sort of a summary of some of these things. And the Goswamis have expanded on them, many of these. And Rupa Goswami, of course, has explained all these things in very technical detail. For example, in the Ujjvala Nilamani, which I've never actually read, but there are some references to it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there are so many of these very high topics are discussed, and in some of the purports, and Krishnadas Kaviraj himself also gives some insight into these things. So these are very, very high subjects, and as we're, and of course we've been presented with them by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy ultimately. Lord Chaitanya is the person who revealed these things. Of course he came to taste this himself. It's significant that Lord Chaitanya spent most of his time in Puri, because Puri is really where he experiences this viraha, separation from, he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. I was preparing for this class and I was, these are topics I'm not very expert at. I don't spend a lot of time reading the Rusic literature. But so I did a little looking here and there, looking for things, and one of the things I read, I didn't read the whole book, but part of it I read was the book of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who was certainly expert in these things. This one was called, this book is called Embankment of Separation. So it's a collection of letters put together and edited, published, lectures. So he describes there in one place that one reason why Krishna had to make Radharani feel separation, because Radharani is Vamya. Vamya means left-wing gopi. So she, we know how she experience, she displays mana sometimes. She can become stubborn and angry. And in the Dwarka Leela, Radharani is Satyabhama. So we see that kind of character in Satyabhama. Whereas Rukmini, she's softer. She's Chandravali. We know when how she fainted when Krishna was teasing her about leaving her. She couldn't handle that. Maybe Satyabhama would have just gotten more angry at him. So Radharani is like that. She displays anger. And Krishna, what he wants to know, we know, of course, he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he wanted to experience what's it like to be Radharani. What's it like to appreciate my beauty from her angle of vision? Or what is it like to have her bhava, to have her feelings? But because she has this mana, she may be a little hard to penetrate. So Gaur Govinda Maharaj was explaining that he had to soften her heart with viraha, with separation. She had to cry, really cry, melt her heart, and then he could get into her heart. Otherwise he couldn't get into her heart and see what it's like to experience her bhava. So that's one reason why Lord Krishna puts her into this mood of separation, intense longing for Krishna. Well, this is the goal, as paradoxical as it seems, to be always crying for Krishna. Our situation in this world, we're always crying, but we're crying for something else. We don't know. Actually, we're looking for Krishna, but we don't know it. Hankering and lamenting, these are characteristics of material life. We're always sensing, or at least if we're a little bit, if we admit it, we're a little sensitive. And people experience this, they feel like there's something missing, but they don't know what it is. I was recently editing an article by Satyaraj Prabhu, coming up in a few issues of BTG. And he writes about, he discovered this word in German called Sehnsucht. So Sehnsucht, it actually, this is kind of what it means. It means that you just feel like something is missing, and really, really intensely. It's as if you're away from home, some place, and you have this longing for it. You're not quite sure what it is, but it's very overpowering. It's almost like an addiction, that you feel like, there's something that I'm missing, and I have to get that. But they don't know what it is. So we know what it is. It's Krishna. Actually, it's Krishna. That's what we're all longing for. But what do we do in this world, of course, because this is the world of illusion. This is the crazy, mixed-up world that we're in. We do everything backwards. So we place something else there. We invent something. Sarva Partha Mano Gatam. Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, the self-realized soul is a person who has done away with these inventions of the mind. All of our desires, the things that we're hankering for, they're just inventions of the mind. The mind is coming up with alternatives for Krishna. So we pull this way and that, hankering for this for a while, then hankering for that. And we get things, Prahlad Maharaj said, this is in the nature of the material world. We get things, sometimes things come our way, and we become very attached to them, then we lose them. Then that especially, that then we have real hankering, losing something we love. We always look for metaphors to try to understand these high sentiments of Radharani and the gopis. So this one of separation, naturally we can think that losing something you're very, very attached to, and then you lament for it. Something very painful even to speak of is the loss of a child, especially in some horrible, violent way. Or even, we know people, sometimes a child just disappears and they don't know what happened to the child. So just imagine their whole life. So that's something like, you can say, something like what Radharani and the gopis are feeling. Because everything, Krishna is their life. Literally, he's their life. Not a second goes by when they're not thinking of Krishna. Their life has no meaning without Krishna. Here they're thinking about some of the things that Krishna does, the way he walks, that we don't know yet. I think there's a metaphor given like a graceful elephant, so it's a little hard for me to relate to that. It's extremely beautiful. So he has, but somehow he has his characteristic gait. Where our image of God, as revealed to us by those who see God and have seen God, is very definitive, it's distinct and definite. People have this vague idea of God, they don't know anything about him, but we know how he walks. There are those who know. Everyone has a distinctive gait. Sometimes in the morning when I'm sitting here chanting sometimes, and then just out of my peripheral vision, I kind of see someone walk by, and I know who it is just by their movements, isn't it? You see someone from a distance and you can't see their face, but you say, oh, that's so-and-so, because I know how that person moves. So the gopis, they're seeing, they know how Krishna moves. And they know how he stands in his threefold bending way. Another thing, I was reading that Krishna has bent, he's bent in three places. So I think sometimes it said his legs, his waist, and his neck maybe, but there it was explained that no, it's actually his legs, but then his eyes, because he's always glancing at the gopis, so his eyes are bent too, sidelong glance. And his heart is a little bent too. And that's also in relation to this, because he's always making the gopis cry. Somewhere I read, and I don't know if this was just someone's speculation, but they said, because there's one thing I came across when I was preparing for this. I'd never read these books before, and there's a whole story about how I ended up coming across them, but I was looking for references for Akrura, and there's one reference in the Hansa Dutta. So the Hansa Dutta is written by Rupa Goswami, and the Hansa Dutta is, Hansa Dutta means swan messenger. So Radharani is basically about to die of separation from Krishna. Krishna is in Mathura at this time. So Lalita goes to the Yamuna to get some water to help to serve Srimati Radharani, relieve her. And she comes upon a swan, a Hansa. So then the whole book is her talking to the swan, saying, carry this message, tell Krishna that your gopis are crying here. Radharani she's going to die. She would die. But she says she won't die because maybe Krishna might come back sometime, and if I'm dead, then Krishna will die. And that would be horrible. It's okay if I die, but if Krishna dies because I'm dead, that's just intolerable. That's one of the things she wants the Hansa to tell. So, and then there is another, actually, it's interesting because the same day that I read this book, it's like 140 verses, I found a translation online by Kusha Kreta Prabhu, that I was looking at some remembrances of Prabhupada on the internet, and then I came across, I saw something about Rupa Goswami by Kadamba Kanana Swami, and because I had just read this by Rupa Goswami, then I looked at this, I started watching this lecture of Kadamba Kanana Swami, and he was talking about going actually to Ramakali. And then he also mentioned this book. And something I had noticed when I had come across this, when I had read this book, Hansa Dutta, at the very end, Rupa Goswami, he says, I have offered this book for the pleasure of Sarkar. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. He's calling Sanatana Goswami Sarkar. Isn't that it? Sarkar, right? Sarkar Mulak. That was his name before he became Sanatana Goswami. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Why is he calling him that? So then Kadamba Kanana Swami, I don't know if he had this confirmed, but his realization, you can say, was that means he wrote this before. Because one of the points of Maharaj's lecture was how advanced the devotees, Rupa and Sanatana, were even before they met Lord Chaitanya. So this is amazing. You read this book, it's just amazing. Of course, the devotees who write this high Sanskrit, they use all kinds of double meanings and so on. It'd be nice to know Sanskrit just to be able to read this in the original language, all the things they do with the language. So Sanatana and Rupa were great, great scholars. So another interesting thing about this book is that when Lalita is talking to the swan, she says, so you go there to Mathura, and as you go, you'll see this, you'll see Govardhan Hill, and you'll see, and then as Lalita, she mentions some pastimes, and then she kind of gives the way to Mathura. But she doesn't give the right way. If you look on the map, it's not the way you're supposed to go. So this also is an indication that at that time, Rupa Goswami had never been to Vrindavan. So he didn't actually know the way. He was giving the wrong directions through Lalita's mouth in the Hansa Dutta. But then there's another book called the Uddhava Sandesh. The Uddhava Sandesh is Krishna in Mathura. He's feeling separation from Radharani. And he goes up on the roof of his palace, and Uddhava is there, so he meets Uddhava, and then he tells Uddhava to go to Vrindavan and deliver this message. So this is sort of like the other side. Radharani is sending a message to Krishna, now Krishna is sending a message to Radharani and the gopis. And in that book, at the end, Rupa Goswami, he says, this book is written for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gives Uddhava directions how to go, and he sends him by, it's kind of a roundabout way, but at least things make sense in the order. First he sends him south a little bit, then he sends him up to Chatikar. Chatikar is right where the Delhi Agra Road meets Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. That's where you turn to go down to Krishna Balaram Temple. Because the residents of Vrindavan, they spent some time there when they left Gokul. They spent some time at Chatikar. So he sends him there, and then Mara says it's like 90 kilometers he sent him. Really kind of a roundabout way. But it's a way that you can go that makes sense. So he says, that means that he knew the layout of Vrindavan, Brajadam. He knew where things were. So in any case, so the gopis here, they're in this Hansadutta, of course, Lalita, she's thinking of all these different pastimes of Krishna and how the gopis are missing him so much. The gopis can't talk about Krishna without talking about all the things he did and his smiles and the way he walked. And with the list in this verse today, it gives several different things that they're remembering. First it says, remembering the words of Krishna, decorated with wonderful phrases and expressed with affectionate smiles. Sometimes we appreciate some person, that, oh, this person, I like the way this person speaks, or I like this, the way this person looks, or I like the way this person smiles. They have different characteristics that we're attracted to. So Krishna has them all. Every single part of his being, everything he does, everything he says, every way he moves. Just like that was our attraction. I've been watching a lot of Prabhupada remembrances on YouTube. It's nice. You just click on YouTube, you type in Prabhupada memories, you get hundreds of them. Really nice. So somebody, you know, devotees talking about how the way Prabhupada would drink, or everything he did was so graceful, swan-like. So Krishna, so beautiful. And the residents of Vrindavan, they just think of these things constantly. But they're missing them. Now, they're just thinking now how Kura has come. One of the things I read was also about there are different stages of all of these things. Like there's sambhog, which means enjoying with Krishna, and then viraha, or milan. Milan means coming together, and viraha means separation. So there are degrees of these things. So there are three degrees of separation also. Yeah, I can remember the terms. Bhavi, bhuti, and bhavan. Yeah, I've been trying to remember these words for 3 days. Somehow I remembered them. So bhavi. So they're basically different degrees of intensity. So at this stage, the gopis are in the bhavi stage, the beginning, because they're just thinking that Krishna is coming, or that Akura has come to take Krishna away, and they're so afraid. One of the phrases I always remembered from the Krishna book, it may be coming up here also, Prabhupada says, the gopis cried all night before the departure of Krishna. So I always had this image all night long. They're just crying and crying, just thinking, Krishna's leaving us. Akura has come to take him away. So this is just the beginning stage. And then, after Krishna leaves, then that's the middle stage, because their separation is building up more and more and more. But it's actually, it's at the highest stage when Akura is actually taking them. He's right there. The gopis, they can't believe it. Krishna's actually gotten onto the chariot. This is actually going to happen. So they throw away all decorum, all thought of any, they don't care. If they die, they throw themselves in front of the chariot. Of course, in the past, they've always sort of hidden their relationship with Krishna because it's improper. But now they don't care about that. They don't care about anything. They can die. They're going to die anyway. They're thinking, we're dead. Krishna's leaving. We're dead. Now, what's the use of our lives? We have to stop Krishna from going somehow or other. What is he doing? What is Krishna doing? How can he do this to us? He's throwing himself. So this is the intensity of their feelings. So now Krishna, actually, when I started talking about the Hansadutta, and this is what reminded me of it, in that book, it's actually because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Shyam Sundar, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. In Mathura is actually Vasudeva. Krishna. So someone may ask, well, where's Shyam Sundar if he's in Vrindavan? And what I read was the person said, he's hiding in the bushes watching the fun. So I thought, fun? Can Krishna really think this is fun? What's happening to the gopis? Is that fun? I heard another explanation, that the highest form of Krishna is actually hidden in the hearts of the gopis. The Bhava Rupa, the form of Krishna hidden in the heart. So you could say Shyam Sundar, maybe not hiding in the bushes, he's hiding in the hearts of the gopis. They can't see him somehow. They're still so overwhelmed at the thought that he's left them. So it's so touching, isn't it? Prabhupada talks about it as heartbreaking, the heartbreaking mood of the gopis. Krishna has left them, and he doesn't come back. Or he comes back, actually in the Uddhava Sandesh, Krishna tells Uddhava, tell Radharani that what she thinks is, tell her that I come every night and we enjoy together. And tell her it's not a dream. She thinks it's a dream. She thinks I'm dreaming, or I had a dream last night that I was with Krishna. But tell her it's not a dream. I'm actually coming there every night. So she doesn't have to feel such intense longing because we're always together every night anyway. So this is so wonderful that we have access to these things, that we're stuck here. Sometimes I hear devotees, I've been asked this before, because Lord Chaitanya taught us to, and Prabhupada of course reiterated it, that we're meant to progress in Krishna consciousness or practice our Krishna consciousness in the mood of separation. Now he would always say, that means we don't say, oh, last night I saw Krishna, you know, I saw the Rasalila or whatever. I heard Krishna's flute. And sometimes new people, they come and they say these things and we sort of turn our heads and say, yeah, okay. So that's not our mood. Our mood is separation. But sometimes devotees ask, well, how can I feel separation when I never had the milan? I never had the connection with Krishna. How can I feel separation when I've never met Krishna? So, of course, we have met Krishna. We have to remember that. And we're trying to see what it's like to experience Krishna again, just so we can feel separation from him. We're trying to meet him just so we can feel the separation. Or we just have this longing, because we're, in some sense, we're meeting Krishna through its sound, or through the words of his devotees, through Krishna Katha, we're meeting Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, is Krishna, Brahma Samhitam, it's Krishna himself. So we're meeting Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So we may not have full realization, but it should be enough. Somehow we're in Krishna consciousness because something has inspired us. Uddipana. Madan Mohan likes to talk about this word. Uddipana. Uddipana means the things that inflame, you can say. That's really the root of the word, dipa. Uddipana. The things that arouse the desire to be with Krishna, to enjoy with Krishna, to have Krishna's association. So his pure devotees certainly, Prabhupada certainly awoke the desire for Krishna. One thing you see if you watch a lot of these Prabhupada memories, especially the very early ones where devotees had a lot of a close association with Prabhupada. Prabhupada did a lot of mystical things, actually. some of these may attribute to still coming down from LSD, but I don't think they're all about that. Devotees had some very intense. One devotee, her name is Chintamani. She was married to Sudama. And they opened a center in Tokyo. So she's talking about this program that took place at Ohio State University when Prabhupada went there with Allen Ginsberg. And this incredible cure. These are just, you know, this was Columbus, Ohio. It's not like Haight-Ashbury or the Lower East Side of New York. It's Middle America, the Bible Belt and redneck, corned beef-fed Americans, you know. What the kids were, they didn't even have long hair probably at Ohio State University yet. So these were really like straight arrow kids. So Prabhupada had the whole place in ecstasy. They were standing on the seats and jumping and dancing, like a couple of thousand people chanting in ecstasy and crying. And there are many times where devotees saw Prabhupada would arrive and everyone would just start crying. And new devotees would say, what's going on here? So Prabhupada definitely gave Krishna, Krishna Setomar, Krishna Dite Par. Bhaktivinoda says, you have Krishna and you can give Krishna. So Prabhupada has given us, in some way, we have some glimpse of Krishna. So this is our basic drop of uddipan, inflaming our desire to have Krishna, our feeling of separation from Krishna. So we're meant actually to nurture that more and more. Because unless we have that, lowlyam, tatra lowlyam api mulam ekalam, Janmakoti Sukriteya Nalabhyate. That's the one price to get Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati, to get Krishna love, Krishna Bhava, to get that love for Krishna is the lolium, the desire to get it. So, very fortunate we have these given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So amazing we have all these books. Huh? This is really the first time in history we have access to all of this so easily. During the Gosa, I was thinking this Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno. The Goswamis studied all the scriptures. So it wasn't that they got on the Veda base and it was just all there for them. They had to somebody find someone to. They first had to find the books, then they had to get somebody to copy them. It's like Lord Chaitanya, he found the book, and so he had to have it copied to take with him. So it's hard. It was hard to. So they compiled the library. They had a library, actually, at the Radha Damodar Temple to these books. So it was a lot of work just to get the books. So now we have everything. An embarrassment of riches, the expression. We have so much. Maybe we should be embarrassed if we're not taking advantage of it. But we have so much available to us to help inflame our desire to have Krishna. All right, I'll just read the last verse here. The gopis were frightened at the prospect of even the briefest separation from Lord Mukunda. So now they remembered his graceful gait, his pastimes, his affectionate smiling glances, his heroic deeds, and his joking words, which would relieve their distress. Did I miss a word? Oh, as they remembered. They were beside themselves with anxiety at the thought of the great separation about to come. They gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta. It's interesting, there's no purport here. You could think there's so much you could say about each one of these phrases here. They remembered Krishna's heroic deeds, just that. All the demons that Krishna killed. So, any questions, comments? Pamaharpabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I was thinking one of the last things you were talking about was the sense of separation that even devotees such as ourselves who don't have recent memory of being with Krishna, still there's that sense of separation from Krishna that. I had read sometime, and I can't remember the exact source, it must have been Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, that there are five types of viparlamba, which is a general term for separation, and four of those are, which we often hear about with the gopis after meeting, then there's a certain type of separation. But there's a fifth type, which is a feeling of separation having never having met Krishna. Mm-hmm. And I think Rukmini is given as an example. Oh. She had actually never seen.
Oh, I was thinking of her as a.
She hadn't ever seen Krishna, right. But she was feeling this intense just by hearing about it. So in the same way, because we're hearing about Krishna from Prabhupada and from the Bhagavatam, it's like, and as you said, there is that original dormant thing within us, maybe very deeply buried, but still some distant memory of being with Krishna that's being revived through the process of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a pastime. There's another one of these, is when the devotee is with Krishna, then the devotee is afraid of losing Krishna's association. So there's a pastime where Radha and Krishna were together and a bee came by. And Krishna said, let's see if I can get this straight. Anyway, he told Radharani, watch out because this Madhusudan may bite you. Because Krishna, of course, is Madhusudan, but a bee is also Madhu because Madhu means honey. So Madhusudan somehow can also mean bee. So Krishna was using a play on these words, Madhusudan. And then the Radharani grabbed onto Krishna because she didn't want to get bitten by the bee. So then Krishna said, oh, don't worry. Now Madhusudan is gone. So then she took that Madhusudan to mean Krishna. And she said, oh, no. She was in complete anxiety. No, no. She thought she had lost her Madhusudan. So then Krishna said, that's all right. I'm right here. So she's right there with him, and just the thought that for a moment she thinks that maybe Krishna's not here, that she loses it in her madness of separation when there's no separation even. All these things heighten the intensity of her love. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Rupa Goswami wrote this Hamsadutta. Is that revealed scripture? It must be.
Is it?
Revealed. Is it Shabda?
Well, it seems that way. A lot of the things the Goswamis have written, it seems like these are revealed within their hearts. Now, how much is not, I don't know, because there are confidential scriptures that maybe we don't know, have access to all the time. Because sometimes, even in the Puranas, like in the Vishnu Purana, there'll be a quote about this or that, this pastime, or the Garga Samhita. Sometimes the pastimes are told in different ways. So sometimes they compile things by extracting from here and there and filling out the pastime. But when you read the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it really just seems that, you know, he's looking at it and this is his realization of this pastime. This is what is taking place here. When Krishna says this, then this is kind of what he means here. We can take his words in this way, and he's revealing this or that. So the other thing we have to remember is, well, Rupa Goswami, he's Rupa Manjari. So he already knows these things. Or Ramananda Rai, he's Vishaka. One thing I was reading was Vishaka's kind of hard. She gets really heavy with Krishna. She actually cursed Krishna in one pastime where Krishna was hiding. So, oh, he was with Chandravali. And Radharani heard about it and she was crying. So Vishaka got very angry at Krishna for being so cruel to Radharani. So she said, "You're going to have to cry. In the future, you're going to have to cry." So he came as Lord Chaitanya and never stopped crying. So that's part of that whole leela. So there's all these intricacies and devotees have. Yeah, they have their realizations and they're part of these leelas. One thought, just in reference to this Rupa Goswami, we know that there's in Goloka Vrindavan, there's one neighborhood where Lord Chaitanya is. Pastimes are going on there. So I've always heard that you can be in both of them at the same time if you're a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And I never really thought about it clearly, but then I just heard someone state it recently. That means that in the Vraja part, then there's Rupa Manjari, but in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he's Rupa Goswami. So he's both at the same time. He's taking part in Lord Chaitanya's Leela as Rupa Goswami, which goes on eternally in the spiritual world. He's always Rupa Goswami, but he has that eternal identity in his relationship with Lord Chaitanya, but he also has his relationship as Rupa Manjari, servant of the gopis. I also read that the jiva can only, don't say only because it's so great, but we can become manjaris. We never become gopis. We can become manjaris, servants of the gopis. So that's our aspiration. And it's so high, as I was saying in the beginning. Even when you read in the Bhagavatam, you see these devotees are very exalted and they're praised with wonderful prayers. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad is glorified all over the place in the Bhagavatam. A great devotee he is. But the gopis are shoo. And we're given access to this. Because Lord Chaitanya came, just gave Ujjvala Rasa, the highest thing. And we have to think, and that means that's our aspiration. Because how can we forget? Somehow this has touched our hearts. We say any advancement, the Gita says, you don't lose it. So now we know this about Krishna. How can we forget it? That means that's where we're going. That's what we're trying. We're trying to go. That's where we're heading. Every day we pray to Tulsi Devi. She's so merciful. One of the memory of Prabhupada I was hearing, I won't explain the whole context, but the punchline of the story was that Prabhupada was extending his mercy to some devotee who had gone away. And the devotee who was talking to him actually wanted Prabhupada to kind of do something, maybe chastise this devotee, or call the authorities, I think, police or something. And Prabhupada was silent for a moment, and then he just said, "The mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited." So, the mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. So that's the only way we could say that, you know, how can we even think of aspiring for these such an elevated state, topmost, because the mercy of Nityananda is unlimited, and the mercy of the Goswamis is unlimited. All these associates of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya came to give it out, so everyone who came with him took the same mood. Another interesting thing I read, it's like I don't know this whole tattva so much, rasa tattva, so just these little things. I said, wow, that's really interesting. That the Manjaris, they had the same bhava as Radharani. Where some of the gopis, they can console Radharani. Like Lalita and Vishakha, they can console Radharani. Because they can, in some sense, sort of detach themselves from Radharani's mood. Whereas the Manjaris, they can't. They are the same bhava, so intimately connected with Radharani's bhava, that when Radharani's heart is just broken and she's inconsolable, they're also inconsolable. They can't console her. Vishakha has to console her. Lalita has to console her. The Manjaris, they can't. They're too in it. They're too drowned in it themselves to do it. So there are all these, these are revealed by the Goswamis, all these intricacies of the gopis' bhava. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. Krishna has unlimited gopis, unlimited flavors, unlimited tastes are there. Nothing gets stale or dry, or always fresh, new.
So the reason I'm asking is...
So I don't know if I answered your question. I forgot what it was.
Well, the reason I'm asking is, how could then he make a mistake about how to go from Vrindavan to Mathura?
Oh, how could Rupa Goswami forget how to go?
Maybe he wasn't making a mistake. There's some other explanation.
Well, that could be. There could be another explanation. I think Maharaj, in his lecture, he was just giving us as another example, because when I read that too, Hansaduta, I hadn't heard Maharaj's explanation about why he's saying Sakar. As soon as I read it, I thought, that's really, why is he calling him Sakar? Because his name is Sanatan, and he's his guru, Sanatan Goswami. So this was Maharaj's conclusion, that he hadn't been to Vrindavan. He wrote this earlier. So then he used this as reinforcing evidence. And I don't know if he has anything to back it up, but he did note that it seems like he hadn't been there. So maybe another answer is, these devotees, they don't, they act in different ways. They may not reveal everything they know necessarily. These things unfold as the course of their lila, and course of their lila with Lord Chaitanya unfolds. Different things are manifested. So things manifest perfectly according to the time, according to the needs of the lila shakti. Ultimately, she controls. Purnamasi, Brinda Devi, they control all of these things. Lord Chaitanya loses himself. Jagannath Puri is such an important place for us, actually, because of Lord Chaitanya's bhava there. He revealed it at Jagannath Puri. And there it said specifically in that chapter, was it 13th chapter, 2nd, or Madhya Leela, Rathyatra pastimes, that Lord Chaitanya just, he just basically told Leela Shakti, you take over, I'm losing my mind here. I'm just going into ecstasy. I don't want to think about arranging anything. You arrange it. So Lord Krishna does that. He just loses himself in his enjoyment, and his servants arrange everything. His shaktis arrange everything. So everything unfolds perfectly according to the Lord's desire. There are three primary desires. I was reading this in the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. The Ichcha Shakti, the Jnana Shakti, and the Kriya Shakti. Or sometimes they're listed slightly differently. Or the Bala Shakti is also, in other words, the capacity to do things. So first you have to think or will something, thinking, feeling, willing. Then things are put into place, and then the pastime is actually enacted. So Ichcha Shakti, that's Krishna. Krishna has the Ichcha Shakti. The will for everything begins with Krishna. And then Baladev, he's the Kriya, the Bala Shakti, or Jnana Shakti. Anyway, we know Baladev, he's the one that sets up the whole arena. He sets up everything. The spiritual world is Baladev. It's resting on Baladev. But the Ichcha begins with Krishna, Ekale Ishvara Krishna, because Krishna is ultimately in control of everything else. So everything is happening according to his will. Swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. So he just has to will it. So however things unfold, it just means that Krishna had the thought. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if it were like this? Then you don't have to say anything else. Just like someone has a big CEO, he has a good side, yes man. So he just has to, even Prabhupada, sometimes his servants would become expert. Prabhupada would just raise his eyebrow and they would know what Prabhupada wanted. So Krishna just has to will it. And then all his other shaktis take care of everything. So he just enjoys. He doesn't have to do any of the work. He just enjoys. And everybody does. Chaiva, just like even Durga Devi, this material world. Chaiva yasya bhuvanani vibharti Durga. Just like the shadow, exactly as the hand moves. So exactly as Krishna wills, everything is moving according to his ichcha, according to his desire. Okay. Oh, Madamati Prabhu.
Uh-huh. I don't know exactly what title Sakar is, but it may mean just, well, he was
it
a
could
what?
Be an honorific.
Yeah, it could be honorific. So I at least that's my understanding, that those are the that titles that were given to them when they were working and not Sakar. Their names.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, not necessarily that the Hamsa Dutta was written before. I mean, again, I don't know. I'm just saying that as...
Yeah, that's a possibility. He was off. Referring to him as he knew him with that honorific title. Another thing that Maharaj discovered when he was there in Ramakeli was, of course, maybe this is written in other places, but it wasn't just these two, quote, Hindus who were working in the government, because there were lots of devotees, actually, Hindus, devotees, bhaktas, who were working in the government, the Muslim government, because they were in charge, and if you wanted a government job, you had to work for the Muslim government, you know. So they also, you might say, they had other associates of theirs. And when Sanatana Goswami left, I don't know if others left, but it's possible, others also left government service and joined him when he was reading the Bhagavatam every day and studying the Bhagavatam. They brought in learned scholars. So yeah, in any way, in case that's a possibility that that was one of his titles, and Rupa was just calling him by that. All right, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.